Claudia's most pithing little families with only five or six children do with themselves.
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
Where are you?
You're giving me a massive headache.
Teach your children well.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by Matt's Cookies, the doctors of NeuroHealth, and Christina Steele Dermatology. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
In the tale of the Velveteen Rabbit, a child stuffed toy can only become real once all its fur has been loved off and it's missing a button or two, if only. Under a new law set to go into effect February 10th, unsold toys, along with bikes, books, and even children's clothing, are destined for the scrap heap due to an overzealous law to increase toy safety. The damage comes from new rules governing lead in children's products. After last year's scare over contaminated toys made in China, Congress leapt in to require all products aimed at children under 12 years old to be certified as safe and virtually lead-free by independent testing. The burden may be manageable for big manufacturers and retailers who can absorb the costs of discarded inventory and afford to hire more lawyers. Less likely to survive are hundreds of small businesses and craftspeople getting hit with new costs in a down economy. So now it's coming down to the toys. Friends, welcome to It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart, and that is all from the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, I was just noting this because I was thinking of a skit I'd seen on Saturday Night Live years ago. And I mean years ago, when Dan Aykroyd was supposedly a toy manufacturer and Jane Curtin was interviewing him, and she comes in and it's Christmas toys, and they're talking about the dangerous Christmas toys. And she says, you know, what is that toy you have there? And Dan Aykroyd says, well, this is Tiger Glass, you know. And he says, oh, this is great. Kids can have a lot of fun with this. They can stomp on and break it up. And, you know, you can imagine. And the next thing was sort of the fire starter kit. And he was supposedly the toy manufacturer, you know, defending all of his lead-based products or the equivalent, essentially, but dangerous things. And it was actually very funny. But now, you know, we have a situation in Washington where once again, you know, you'd like to think the parents are actually involved in when it comes to things like toy safety, when it comes to things like making these decisions for their kids. But no. It all has to be up to the nanny state. And so now Congress has gotten involved, and according to the Wall Street Journal, is now getting deeply involved in the toys and the clothing and the books that you are able to give your kids, because a whole lot of these people that you might have wanted to have bought from are now going to go out of business. And by the way, not for good reason. I mean, we have this idea that the most trace amount of lead is going to kill our kids. No, it won't. You know, that kind of stuff is all over the place. There's radioactivity everywhere, even in the table your coffee book is on. Literally everything is radioactive. And on it goes. The poison is in the dose. And the idea that we can somehow remove all risk from our children's lives, as we have talked about here on the show, It Takes a Parent, is just completely crazy. And it's not helpful. We want to teach our kids to make good choices. We as parents need to be responsible parents and make good choices for our kids, make safe choices, but we also need to let them scrape their knees once in a while and not worry about it. I'm not suggesting giving your kids a lead-based product. I'm just saying that the fact that now Washington is moving to remove all these things from the shelves, even those that are already sitting on them, they're not even saying these rules are for the future, even trace elements of anything even sitting on the shelf has to be done away with. That has huge costs. But it also is a symptom of a larger problem, which is this nanny state, this inability to accept any level of risk, even stuff that really makes sense, and certainly a lack of, a lack of insight that it really does take a parent to raise a child. Well, because the new rules apply retroactively, toys and clothes already on the shelf will have to be thrown out if they aren't certified as safe, the Wall Street Journal goes on. When Congress passed the legislation in August, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi boasted that, quote, with this legislation, we will not be recalling, we will be removing those products from the shelves. Well, that's just grand, since you're the Speaker of the House and you make a lot of money and your job is secure. But if you're a small business person and you're selling a handcrafted product, et cetera, guess what? It's not so great, Nancy. And that's, so I think, you know, Speaker Pelosi, I think why not be aware of that? So while large retailers may ask manufacturers to take back uncertified products, independent stores may be stuck with inventory that is suddenly illegal to sell. One website, NationalBankruptcyDay.com, is cataloging the costs faced by small businesses. Small batch toy makers, many of whom make old-fashioned wood and sustainable products, a lot of the ones we love. I mean, the stuff that's not electronic, but that's just, you know, made by smaller companies, and it's something you can really, you know, blocks you can put together, maybe painted blocks, things like that. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's going to start disappearing under this law. They say the testing requirements, which can cost thousands of dollars to begin with, are unaffordable. At Etsy.com, E-T-S-Y.com, a website where entrepreneurs can sell their handmade items. Many expect the new law to put them out of business. Also ensnared are companies that make products like bikes or children's books. Because they aren't toy companies, many were caught by surprise when it became clear, guess what, the law applies to them too. The only lead that can be found, I love this, I love the Wall Street Journal, this is all according to the Wall Street Journal. According to them, the only lead that can be found on children's bikes is on the tire, where it poses absolutely no risk to a child not in the daily habit of licking the wheels. Never mind, the lead has to go, and boy, is that going to cost more when it comes to buying a bike. And while children's books may contain no more noxious materials than paper and ink, under the new rules, they would still need a test to prove it. So even if your product is safe, you're going to have to now spend a whole lot of money getting it tested to prove it. And guess who's going to have to pay for that? The manufacturers are going to go out of business. And the families who already have enough stuff to worry about. We can't even buy our kids a bike or a book now without having to pay, you know, percentage-wise a little bit extra for all the testing that was done on it to prove what we already know, which is that, you know what, these things are safe. Let's make good choices, Mom and Dad. Let's teach our kids to make good choices. Let's not ask the government to do it for us. That just makes me crazy. You're listening to Betsy Hart. It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. And guess what? Coming up after the break, we have got Dr. Paul Randolph back for the second week, part two. Remember last week, he was talking about those teenage years and what they can do to a parent's marriage. When moms and dads pull apart from each other because there's a lot of added stress during those teen years. And he actually sort of made me think it's not so bad being a single parent. At least I'm just fighting with four kids and not with a spouse. But he makes a great case for why that happens. And we talked about that last week. This week he comes back to say, hey, here's how you can fix it. And you are not going to want to miss what he has to say as far as how you can better manage those teen years and not let them destroy your marriage. In fact, you can build your marriage and make it better right now so that when your teens are gone, you know what? You won't be totally regretting it or kind of looking at your spouse and saying, who is this person and why am I here? So be sure to stay tuned for that for Dr. Paul Randolph because he is just terrific. But, you know, I noticed we talk about the nanny state. It's not just the government doing the stuff with the toys. And I'm not against reasonable regulations. I don't want my kids playing with a bag of glass or anything like that. Although I do remember my brothers making lead soldiers in our basement. They actually would melt the lead and pour it. Like Johnny Tremaine was the revolutionary character. There's a story about him getting lead on his hand, molten lead. But anyway, so they would pour the molten lead, and I can picture them from the little Bunsen burner in the basement. So we've got a fire in the basement. We've got my brothers literally burning lead, melting it from that they got from the hobby store, and then pouring it into molds to make soldiers, and then they would play with the soldiers and have a great time with that. So let's see, I don't remember any parental supervision. So there was fire, there was noxious materials, there was threat of burns. I mean, I don't know. We seem to all survive it. But in any event. But it's not just the government doing that. Now we're reading, and I've seen this a little bit in the food stores. Now I understand more what's going on, also in the Wall Street Journal. Super Value, Inc. is rolling out a store-wide nutritional information program, the first national grocery chain to label which products on its shelves meet government health recommendations. So now we're going to have, you know, green labels mean that it's good on fat, and yellow labels mean it's good on fiber, and blue labels mean it's good on sugar, and all this kind of stuff. So then, you know, what happens if somebody actually takes a little bit too much of the wrong product? I mean, do the lights and the sirens go off? Oh, there's too much of the fat in Mrs. Hart's car, you know, in her cart. You know, once again, the poison is in the dose. And if I'm going to go and get a box of cookies, I can darn well tell you it's not going to be the low-fat variety. I'm not interested in a low-fat Oreo. If I want an Oreo, it's because I want the satisfaction of the full-fat Oreo. And a couple of times, I have accidentally done things like bought low-fat ice cream or bought low-fat milk. Well, once in a while, low-fat milk is okay, but low-fat half and half. Excuse me, what is the point of low-fat half and half? The entire point of half and half is to have fatty cream in your coffee. And I've actually gotten home with some of this stuff and just said, blech! You know, I'm not going to eat a whole bag of cookies, but I'm going to eat a couple, and I want them to be the real deal. And I have a feeling that all of these labels in the world are not going to help these people who are struggling with obesity, who just don't want to cut back food intake. Overall, they think, oh, if I eat less fat here or more fiber there, it's going to make all the difference. No, it's not. It's all about calories. It's all about intake. But in the meantime, there's once again a sense, you know, I'm glad to have the information. That's fine, but it all goes back to signals about the government health standards and where those can be found in the store. And, you know, information's fine, but ultimately it really does come up to us to kind of make good choices. And just because something is low fat does not mean that you can eat 17 different cookies. And I think that that's unfortunately what most of this kind of labeling is going to do, is it's just going to get people to say, oh, great, it's low fat. I can have five cookies instead of two. And that is just not the case. We have to be smart, and ultimately the choice is up to us. I think sometimes this information about what the government says is good and bad just mucks up the waters. Anyway, you're going to want to stay because we are talking to Dr. Paul Randolph next, part two in what to do when it comes to those difficult teen years as far as keeping your marriage intact. You're not going to want to miss it. Come right back to It Takes a Parent after the break. More with Dr. Paul Randolph.
Don't know when your favorite program is on? Check out the program guide for Chicago's Christian Talk at WYLL.com. That's WYLL.com.
Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmas time activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomenon may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at betsysblog.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In a critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, How the Culture of Pushover Parenting is Hurting Our Kids and What to Do About It, Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host, Betsy Hart, can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
America's best-selling acne system is quickly becoming the world's most talked about acne solution. Proactive Solution. It was named the best acne treatment by Allure magazine and has been called refreshing and magical. Now you can enjoy a 60-day free trial by calling 1-800-420-8701. This is a radio-only offer, so call now. 1-800-420-8701. Call right now and we'll also include a refining face mask free. Find out how to get your free 60-day trial of Proactive and free face mask by calling 1-800-420-8701.
Get answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask.
Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow.
Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. I hope you're staying warm out there if you're listening to this in Chicagoland. And now we get a special treat. I get to welcome Dr. Paul Randolph to my show. Dr. Paul is a friend, but he's also an ordained minister. He's been married over 20 years to his wife. He is a licensed and long-time family counselor with a long list of great practices he has been part of. He now heads up Insight Christian Counseling. You can find them at insightcounsel.org. I'll be putting all that good stuff on my website. And Paul Randolph, welcome to It Takes a Parent.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Betsy.
Well,
thank you.
Really, really glad you're here. And, you know, you and I had already talked about having you come on the show. And as I told my listeners in the first part of the show, that the focus is going to be all about teenagers, but for once, not raising the teenagers. That would be, you know, about a six-month series of shows. We're going to talk about keeping the marriage relationship strong during one of the toughest times of a marriage relationship, which is when you're raising teens. So I was telling a friend of mine that you were going to be on the show. She said, oh, my gosh, I've got to listen. She said, you know, we're just having a tough time. She and her husband, she said, Betsy, this is the hardest time of our marriage. And I said, well, hey, tune in so we can figure out, you know, how to help folks who are really struggling during those tough years. And you and I were talking about this a little bit ahead of time. And you know, my oldest is 14, and I'm not married, unfortunately, though I would like to be, and I would like to have stayed married, for the record. But you're saying that's one of the toughest things you see in your practice is parents coming in and struggling with their own relationship during the teen years. I have to say that I'm a little bit surprised to hear that. I would have thought it would be the sleep-deprived little kid years when your life fundamentally changes when you first have that baby, but you're telling me, and I'm hearing from other people, that's just not the case.
Yeah, and I think the studies and statistics bear that out in that while the overall national divorce rate has declined about 1.4% for couples who have been married 25, 30 years, the divorce rate has actually increased by 16%. And that's one of the things that got me thinking about this besides my own marriage and my own family, where I have now only two teenagers left, but I have a daughter who's 21, how challenging these years were for my wife and I to keep the focus where it needed to be to keep our marriage going strong.
Now, and we're going to get into all that, but I want to just circle back for a second to those statistics that the divorce rate is actually going up in that particular age group. It's going down elsewhere. So, I mean, you would kind of think that it would go in tandem, that it would be, you know, everybody's getting divorced, now not everybody's getting divorced, but one group is kind of staying married and one group is really, you know, it's picked up just even, it sounds like, just in recent years. What is it that's changed for this group in the last decade or two that's causing some of this change in numbers?
Yeah.
You know, the recent empty nesters, the new empty nesters, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know that I have an exact answer for what's changed in the last 10 years. I can only tell you what I see as a counselor and a pastor, people coming into my office. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that in our society today, there's just fewer and fewer reasons for people to stay married. In the state that I'm in, Pennsylvania, we've enacted no-fault divorce. Mm. And that was supposed to make divorce less acrimonious, and it hasn't really made divorce less acrimonious. It's only made it easier to obtain.
Yeah,
so
but
I think it's more of a societal thing.
And by the way, you know, once in a while I'll talk to people and they'll say, oh, you know, we were such good friends and now we're even better friends that we're not married anymore. Every once in a while you run across that. Then why not just stay married? I mean, you know, divorce is a fundamentally ripping apart of lives. So if it's not that, it's almost weird. In other words, I sort of look at people who say, death is this really natural, lovely state. No, it's not. It's death. It's a bad thing. It was never supposed to come into the world in the first place, if you believe the Bible. And I kind of feel that way with divorce, too. In other words, I guess I'm almost thinking a non-acrimonious divorce or a gentler, kinder divorce is a little bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah, and I would agree. And I think the children of divorce would bear that out. Because
yeah, they don't care. Yeah, they just know you're not living together anymore.
Right, and they would rather have mom and dad together, even if mom and dad get divorced when I turn 20, or I'm 24 or 25. It throws a whole monkey wrench into the family dynamic.
And by the way, in the earlier years, I mean, kids would much rather have their parents fighting under one roof, almost always, unless, as you know, and the evidence bears this out, and Wallerstein and Blakesley in their book talk about this, unless the marriage is extraordinarily either violent or just incredible levels of high tension, a state few marriages reach, I mean, the way they describe it before the divorce, unless it's at that level of acrimony, most kids say, I don't care if my parents are fighting. I really don't care. They just care about themselves, and they care that their parents are living in the home. So anyway, that's a whole separate topic. But yeah, I mean, are people maybe doing this? Let's just stick with the statistics for a second before we get into kind of what you're seeing in your practice. And the great thing is, as I've told my listeners, I've got you for 2 weeks. So we're doing sort of what's going on this week and how to fix it next week. But as part of it, they think, oh, at age 20, my kids have had the benefit of an intact marriage. So now's the time to get out.
Well, I think that's a part of it. For someone who feels trapped in their marriage, oftentimes they will stay in it for the sake of the kids, and that's not a bad thing. I think
mm-hmm.
that's a good thing
right.
for the kids. And but once the kids have been launched, well, now I can take care of my own needs and my own problems, and so then, you know, there's one less reason to stay married.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all for staying married for the sake of the kids. And there's been some great research that says if you just stick together for a period of time, oftentimes just the act of staying together will turn your marriage into a happy one. In fact, most of the times people self-report being much happier years later, even after they first said they had a terrible marriage. And there's been some interesting research done on that. Just even without counseling, the act of staying together produced happiness. And as Christians, you know, we sort of say, okay, look, hopefully we say, marriage is not just about happiness. That's a great thing. And oftentimes we will find that in marriage if we look at it rightly. But ultimately, marriage is about holiness, not just happiness. And I think too often we get focused on what are my needs and am I happy in the moment instead of looking to glorify God with our marriages. But but the people who are coming to you, they are looking for help. They are saying we've got a problem. They are saying hopefully at least both my feet aren't out the door yet. So when they come to you, they're in these tough years, and what are some of the key things that you're seeing as they raise these teens, and hopefully these are folks who want to stay together?
You know, I think there's some very broad factors that are at work for many of these couples, and then there's some specific teenager and couple issues in mm-hmm. the teen years. So let me start with the broad,
okay.
And then we'll get into that.
And by the way, let me jump in. Am I right? When people come to see you, is it because they really are trying to fix it, or do you find that sometimes they're sort of already out the door? This is just their, oh, yeah, I went to counseling. I mean, do you see, what's the majority of folks?
I see both. Most people are coming to me because at least one spouse who wants to try to save the marriage. But you sometimes do have one or both who've pretty much just about given up. But coming at it as a Christian, most people assume that I have pretty strong convictions on marriage, and so...
And they're right, yeah.
Yeah, they are. And so they pretty much know that I'm not going to settle for, oh, well, you know, see me for two sessions, and then you can sign up with your attorney and say that you've tried to save it.
Okay. So they're walking in the door, hopefully one or hopefully both of them are really trying to get some help, and you figure out, oh, my gosh, these people have teenagers. Of course they're unhappy.
Right.
So then do you tell them?
Right. Well, I think there's some general factors, like I said, that make these years more of a challenge. I think for many couples, when you have your kids in the teen years, you have less emotional reserve.
Mm.
Things that you didn't react to as much, now you do react to them more.
You mean in your spouse, if your spouse is upsetting you.
Right, between you and your spouse. And it's added by the fact you now have these mini adults in your home. For example, when our kids were younger, we'd get them to bed 7:30, 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and we'd have a couple of hours just for ourselves. Now my kids want to stay up later than my wife and I can stay up, and you just don't have that emotional reserve, and there's more fatigue. I also think we are living a faster and increasingly faster paced life, which leads to many people just being stressed out. I mean, recently a study showed that over 200 million prescriptions for antidepressants and anti-stress medication were prescribed for Americans.
Better living through chemistry, I suppose, for some.
And 1 out of 10 Americans feel great stress at least once a week. And what parent of teens isn't stressed out?
Yeah, I mean, let's pause there for a second. We'll come back and do more on the other side of the break, but you know, sometimes I hear people talk about stress, and I just think, okay, wait a minute. You know, if you look back, say, 100 years, stress was, is the crop going to produce enough to feed my family? Is this infection going to carry my infant off to death? You know, previous to that, I mean, you know, we've just been suffering this real cold snap in Chicago. I was telling my kids, you know, hello, there was a time when people lived through this, and there was no central heating. I mean, it seems to me that's real stress. I mean, if you're healthy and your kids are healthy, I mean, I'm the first one to talk about how stressed out I get, but it does sometimes frustrate me. I kind of think, okay, let's put this in perspective. Should we really be sort of, I don't know, throwing these pity parties for all the stress we're under, or should we sort of look at it and say, come on, realistically, we're healthy, we have warm homes, or, you know, when those things are in place, maybe we just shouldn't let ourselves get so stressed out, or is that just unrealistic?
Well, I see it as a combination of things. I think, yes, certainly your attitude towards the challenges you're facing is going to make a big difference on your stress level. But there are things that just tear at your marriage that are stressful.
All right.
The loss of a job, parents maybe getting older or moving further away, and just the greater teen issues that you face with your kids, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
All right. Well, we're talking to Dr. Paul Randolph. We're going to come back, and I'm going to be a lot more sympathetic to those folks undergoing stress in their marriage. We're going to learn how to handle it. When you've got teens, stay with me. Betsy Hart, It Takes a Parent. Come right back.
Hello, I'm Dennis Rainey. Relationships between spouses, siblings, parents, and children can cause lots of problems. But you know what? God's Word has the solution. Listen to Family Life Today weekday mornings at 8:30 on AM 1160 WYLL.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf and just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies. Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmas time activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at AdlerPlanetarium.org. That's AdlerPlanetarium.org. Or visit me at BetsysBlog.com.
America, you're looking good. Handsome, free, and tall. No shave, America. No shave, Barbasol. No shave, Barbasol.
Pure silk. I shaved with soap and water and my legs felt dry and itchy. Now I use Pure Silk Shave Cream for legs like Pure Silk.
Looks like, feels like, legs like Pure Silk.
Your one-stop shop to Chicago's Christian Talk is online and interactive. WYLL.com.
Christian resources, listen live, links to your favorite ministries.
WYLL.com.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL Chicago, where we are continuing our conversation with Dr. Paul Randolph, and we are talking about marriage and how to save it and how to cope during those teen years and how to build that marriage now so that when your teens are gone, you still got your marriage with you. And Dr. Paul, welcome back to It Takes a Parent. So we were talking about, look, you know what? You got to start praying with your spouse. I think that's a really great thing. And I got to tell you, I know there are a lot of couples who don't do it. Maybe they don't feel they're Christians. They don't feel comfortable for some reason. Maybe they're not sort of out loud prayers, if you want to call it that, to begin with. And this sounds like it's sort of a bedrock of something you tell the folks coming into your practice.
Yeah, you've got to have that fundamental commitment to, you know, obviously being truthful and honest with each other and being willing to express what's really on your heart. And what better way to do that than to do that with your partner as you're talking to God?
Okay.
You know, and as you're putting him back into his rightful place. You know, a Christian marriage isn't two individuals, it's three.
Yeah.
You've got the husband and the wife, and you have God. And if you could put God at the pinnacle of the triangle and the husband and the wife at the base, as you're moving, as the husband and the wife individually are moving closer to God, they are, as a result, moving together as a couple.
You know, and there's a great book I like called Sacred Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's by Gary Thomas. And
yes.
I can't think of the exact title, but something like Why Marriage is Meant is More About Holiness Than Happiness. But it talks about this very thing of putting God at the center, but also understanding ultimately your marriage is about more than you and your spouse. It's bigger than just the two of you.
Sure. It's not just about your own personal happiness,
yeah,
but it's about how God wants to work change in your life and through that draw you closer together as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it really takes, you know, the wife or the husband deciding that, okay, my marriage is important.
Okay.
It's worth fighting for. You know, and I want to begin to invest in it again. And so making that commitment that, okay, starting today, my marriage is going to be more important to me. You know, you can tell what's important to you by looking at two things,
mm-hmm,
your date book and your checkbook.
Ooh, well said.
So,
ouch.
How much time are you investing in this relationship and deciding that that's the fundamental commitment you're going to make? That's then going to lead to the second thing I think couples need to do, and that is throwing the past overboard.
Okay.
You know, and you can see I'm using a little bit of a nautical motif here. If we're going to anchor our commitment in Christ, we've got to throw the past overboard. You must resolve to let go of past marital disappointments and forgive each other.
Ooh, that's hard.
It is.
Because it's easy in a fight to bring up the thing that happened, like, you know, 10 years ago at 2 in the morning when he didn't say just the right thing at the right moment.
Right, right. And it's interesting. I think oftentimes on the first point, the guys really need to work at this more and take the lead here as a husband, that you're going to make your marriage your priority commitment and your relationship with Christ. This throwing the past overboard can often be where a wife struggles more, because women tend to just have better rememberers when it comes to, you know, stuff that's going on in the relationship. And one of my challenges, if it is to get the guy to really commit to to loving his wife as Christ loved the church. It's getting the wife to say, I've got to just choose to not keep bringing this stuff up again, and relate to my husband as he is today, not the way he was 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago.
Yeah, you know, Jerry Seinfeld does a funny routine where I saw him live, and I was on the floor. My son was on the floor laughing because he even got this, where he said, you know, a conversation with you, like a fight with your wife, can be like having, you know, sudden the spotlight's on you. It's you know, she's asking, okay, 10 years ago at 3 a.m, you said what? You're like, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's because she remembers. And you've just kind of moved on, because let's face it, I think men tend to be simpler creatures. They have a few basic needs, and they get those met, and they're pretty happy.
Right. Now, let me also say this. I think sometimes guys tend to be too quick to sweep things under the rug.
Ooh,
they don't realize
that's a good
point. Emotional toll that some of this stuff has taken on their wife.
Ooh, and good point.
I think, guys, we need to realize that, you know, just because we say I'm sorry and want to move on, our wife emotionally may not be there yet, and we need to give her time, and we also need to show that we're becoming a different husband than the one that we've been.
Okay.
So, you know, this stuff all works both ways.
Yeah, okay. So he's got to be committed. He's got to be willing, if she needs to chew on a little bit, maybe to let her do that. But one of the ways he can move her on from the chewing on it is to show her, look, I'm really trying to change. I'm not there yet, but I am making an effort.
Exactly.
Okay.
And to commit to cherish, you know, every wife wants to be cherished. And every husband wants to be respected.
Mm.
And if he can begin to cherish her, show her that she is next to God, the most important person in his life, that's going to begin to make a difference. And if she can begin to let go of some of these past disappointments and put away her laundry list of complaints and begin to communicate respect toward him, again, that's going to draw this couple together closer and closer over time.
Okay, that's huge. What you're talking about right there, that is just huge.
Oh, it is. And I think it's one of the biggest challenges, the whole concept of grace. I remember talking to a psychiatrist who ran the mental health department where my wife happened to be a nurse in that hospital. And he said, if I can get the people in this mental health department to forgive themselves and the people that have wronged them, most of the people in this ward would be cured.
Really? I mean, that's, you know, and I actually have seen some studies on that, and it's literally called, I think, forgiveness research.
Yeah.
Which is, and there are some secular psychologists who've done a lot with this, who have shown that when you are able to do that, and, you know, what do you define forgive? Like, oh, yeah, what you did was really okay. Well, no, but you're not holding the grudge. You're moving on. You're extending compassion. You're understanding that we're all fallen in some way. And these are secular people saying this, that it has such a remarkable ability to change our outlook on life and our level of personal happiness that almost nothing else gets close to it. So that is so interesting.
Yeah, and this is where Scripture is such a resource, because who is the greatest model of forgiveness?
Of course.
I mean, it's all over the pages of Scripture. So throwing the past overboard, letting go of those past marital disappointments, and forgiving each other, I think is so key. Another point that I think is helpful is to do what I call steer in an old direction.
Okay.
Steer your marriage in an old direction. Be less child-focused and more partner-focused.
Less child-focused, more partner-focused.
Less child-focused, more. Not ignore your kids, not, you know, give them free rein, but become each other's best friend again. Begin to enjoy each other again. Renew romance and make time to make love. You know, find maybe a common activity that you can both do together. And I'll often put couples through an exercise where I'll say to them, all right, I want you to brainstorm 40 different activities that you could potentially do. Just list them as they come to mind. Roller skating, hang gliding, target shooting, bungee jumping, long walks in the park, antiquing, whatever they may be. Jot them all down. Then go back and cross off any of the ones that there's no way you're going to do that. Like for me, if my wife said, let's go skydiving, I am not jumping out of
a perfectly good
plane.
Okay. Right.
And also cross off any of the ones where either of you have, this has been a favorite activity of yours, and there's no way your spouse would ever catch up, either in their interest or their skill level.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And And so find something that would be new for both of you, and maybe pick two or three. They don't have to involve a lot of money. And then pursue that activity. Give it a try. Now, it cannot be going to the movies or watching a favorite television show, because then you're simply interacting with a TV screen or a movie screen. It's got to be something you can do together. I'll give you an example. For Phyllis and I, we got to a point where we just felt we needed to renew our marriage, so we put ourselves through this. And we settled on tennis lessons.
Oh, okay.
That was something that was new to both of us. Plus, El Cheapo, like me, the racket club nearby was offering 6 or 7 free tennis lessons.
Wow.
So we went and we started taking the lessons together. And then we began playing tennis. And we were not John McEnroe and Chris Everett on the tennis court, but it was fun. It got us off our butts doing some exercise together, talking, laughing, and enjoying each other again. And that's what I call steering in an old direction.
You know,
doing some of those things that you used to do before kids came on the scene.
And just having fun with it. I've seen other studies that have said that the thing that is likely to keep couples together over time is not passionate love, it's having common interests.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So that goes with friendship. That goes with finding something you can do together and enjoy. And actually, I've also heard in studies of dopamine research, where that dopamine high of first love, that something intensely physical, like a roller coaster ride, that kind of thing tends to raise your dopamine levels. And if they're raised at the same time, you'll tend to be more attracted to each other. So I think that sounds good. I also think, you know, going back to making the time for the because, you know, this is on middle of the day and kids are listening, the physical act of love, I think women, wives, tend to greatly underestimate how important that is to their husbands and how much they themselves can benefit, even if they're not up for it in the moment, shall we say, that just making the decision to do it and regularly and making sure that that need in him is satisfied, I think that's one of the greatest things you can do for your marriage, is to make sure that that is in place. And I just know too many wives who really, really do not value that. And I would just encourage us all to think through that a little bit more. So you've got all those great things, all those great, you're doing these great activities. We're going to go to a break in a second, then come back. But give me one more thing as we go out that these couples who are struggling with those teen years can do to keep their relationship vital.
I think you need to rework your parenting, and I think you've got to work on your parenting issues and differences away from the immediate battle with the teen right there. You've got to decide what battles are worth fighting, and you've got to limit the rules. Otherwise, you're turning your kids into mini rule keepers whose hearts may be very far from where you want them to be.
Yeah, so it becomes all about the rules, not the relationship. Okay, friends, you're listening to Dr. Paul Randolph on It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart. We're going to come back and conclude 2 great weeks of discussions about teens and how they impact the marriage relationship and how to stay sane and happy through it all. Come right back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmastime activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at betsysblog.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy. Your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-727-0584. That's 888-727-0584. That's 888-727-0584. Call 888-727-0584.
Writers who publish the old-fashioned way tell a lot of the same stories. A compromised message, little control over the product, and a year or more before a book is on the market. Want to keep your book yours? Self-publish with Zulon Press. Specializing in Christian authors, Zulon Press requires no compromises, gets your book in print in a fraction of the time, and 100% of the reward is yours. Learn more with your free self-publishing guide at ChristianPublishing.com. Your book, your message, your rewards. ChristianPublishing.com.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to AM 1160 WYLL Chicago. This is Betsy Hart, and we are talking with Dr. Paul Randolph of Insight Christian Counseling. You can find him at insightcounsel.org. He's got some really neat relationship tests that you can take on there. You can just take them online, and then he can look at those and respond to you. He does phone counseling, but he's also a very in-demand speaker. Just does some real neat things and has some insights on his website that you're going to want to get a hold of. So go to insightcounsel.org for all that. And we've just got a little bit of time left, so I want to make sure that we're reaching out to those folks who are saying, yeah, that's me. My kids are teenagers. I'm frustrated. My marriage is more difficult than it's ever been. And hopefully we're giving them some hope to hang in there, but don't wait to make it right. Start making it right right now. And a couple things you've talked about are make sure you renew your commitment, you pray together, you find common interests and things to do together. The biggest point, Dr. Paul, that I've heard you make that I just love is we need to let go of the sins of the past, and we need to chart an old course and kind of get to know each other again.
You need to forgive each other and then become more partner focused again and not allow all the cacophony of stuff that happens when you have teenagers in the home to kind of overwhelm the relationship.
And by the way, if I could just, you know, I remember seeing a study on this probably about a year ago, because I remember writing about it at the time, and it had to do with people who never have children, who never become parents, are less depressed. And you know what? You know, in one way, it's counterintuitive because you think, oh, you've missed this great thing of having kids. On the other hand, oh, no, because you can see how these issues really affect you, and the stakes are so high when you're dealing with kids.
Right.
You know, life in many ways would just be so much easier without them, and fortunately, God chooses to bless those of us who have kids and just say, well, it's not going to be so easy. It's going to be difficult in a different way.
The blessing that comes from having kids is also just tremendous, of course.
No question about that.
But when you're working with your kids, you've got to, you know, decide what battles are worth fighting. You can't fight them on every front. So, for example, my sons know that if they came home with a tattoo or a body piercing, they would be dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, even though their hair's longer than I think it ought to be, I'm not going to fight that battle.
Okay.
I'm not going to fight their clothing style because, to me, that's not as important. And they need to be able to express their individuality. If you control everything about them, they are going to rebel. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion.
Yeah, and the same thing, you know, maybe with some musical choices or things like that. And even, you know, with the way my girls dress, although my oldest is only 12, but my rule with them would always be, you know, you have to be modest and you have to think about what you're portraying, but I may not particularly like your clothing choices. But okay, that's all right.
Yeah, and so as long as the neckline is where you're comfortable with, if you're not quite as big on the style, all right, then you're deciding what battle to fight. And presenting that united front to your teens is really key. Also, I think, and this is so key in any marriage that's struggling, is restore meaningful communication. You have to place a priority on having effective communication that gives you the opportunity to express to each other your feelings, your frustrations, your concerns, your joys, all of those things. And I would recommend that the couple set time aside each day to just talk.
Okay, but you know, I can hear some guys just right now saying, I don't really like talking. I like talking. Don't really like talking. Are we kind of asking some guys to be more like girls here? I know it sounds like I'm down on girls, but I see this because
guys, if you don't like to talk, then just be quiet and listen.
Or stay single.
Let her tell you what she wants to tell you about, and then interject some, even just a little bit about what's going on in your life. Talk about, you know, what happened at work, or why you're excited about, you know, your favorite football team, or whatever it is that you like to talk about. But try to get beyond some of that surface stuff to, you know, maybe what God is doing in your life right now, or something that you read in Scripture. But you got to take time aside each day to talk about things and make sure you get beyond the stuff of just daily life. All right, who's got to get Johnny here and Mary there, and when's the practice, and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recommend, like, our house, we have a living room where we can shut the glass door to the living room.
Okay.
And when I get home and my wife gets home, sometimes it happens before dinner if we've got a little bit of time, or it happens right after dinner. We'll sit down together in the living room and close the door. And my kids know that short of a nuclear bomb going off outside the front door, you do not interrupt Mom and Dad during that time.
Yeah, and I think my ex-husband and I used to call it the grown-up zone. And we used to spend just hours a day just talking. It didn't obviously address the issues, apparently, but that was really enjoyable. And we called it the grown-up zone, and we did not let kids step a toe into the grown-up zone.
For the guys out there, you may have had a long day, and for me, you know, I'm talking to people all day long. I don't want to do the mistake of thinking that, okay, I've talked to all these other people, I'm too tired to talk to my wife.
Mm.
You know, it's really giving her a gift. Of myself to sit down and say, hey, how are you doing? What's happening? How was your day? And then talking about, you know, whatever other concerns that may come about. So making sure that you're taking time to communicate, and that also means then you need to sometimes get out of the house to be able to do that. You know, schedule dates, and don't just do it the same day, the same time, you know, every week or every other week. Mix it up. Be spontaneous, but find times where you two can get together and just enjoy each other and communicate. And then there's one other thing that I would recommend that couples do. I call this throwing out the lifeline. Reach out to other couples with teens.
Aha.
You know, sometimes you can feel like we're the only ones going through this. And then you sit down and you talk to another couple or some other couples, maybe in your church setting or small group or in your neighborhood, and you find that they're going through some of the same things that you're going through. You can at least commiserate together.
Yeah.
But also maybe get some helpful ideas to encourage each other with, to learn from. Maybe for the Christian couple, that neighbor couple down the street that you've wanted to reach who also has teenagers, this is an opportunity for you now to minister to them and, you know, to be that light, even though at times you feel like maybe your light's gotten kind of dim.
Yeah.
But you're beginning to interact with them on an area of common ground, and who knows where that could lead to.
You know what? I would also say, too, that you need to be real, especially, you know, find people you can be real with. I don't really need to sit in a room with somebody whose kids are perfect, and all I'm going to hear
absolutely.
About is how perfect they did here, and they did this beautiful art project there, and they're on thus and such a team, this honor roll society, and they're so great, and everybody's so great friends. I mean, blech, don't need it, okay? And if they're not going to be real with me about what I know is going on in their home, I don't really want to hear about it. So I have very good friends, and boy, do we lay it down as to what's really going on in our lives, what's really going on with our kids. The fact is we love these kids like crazy, but it can be hard. You need to find people like that, and you need to be a person like that, because that makes the relationship real, and then you're both going to give and get a whole lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I find as a pastor in my church here at Davisville Church and with Insight, you know, I need to be transparent with people. I put my pants on one leg at a time. I struggle as a parent. I will make mistakes. I have had to go to my kids and apologize to them on numerous occasions. I am far from the perfect parent. You know, that transparency is meaningful because you're being honest.
Yeah, yeah, and in you know, my book, It Takes a Parent, and in the column I write every week, I am so out there about how difficult this can be and some of the issues I'm facing with my kids, and that's what people write to you about all the time and say thank you for just being honest and for being willing to share, because that's powerful. And I appreciate that. I said, you know, why fake it? I mean, you're going to figure out the truth about me sooner or later.
Oh, absolutely. And I have failed as a parent.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are not perfect.
But God's mercies are new every morning. Dr. Paul Randolph from Insight Christian Counseling, thank you so much for joining us these 2 weeks and talking about those teen years, what they do to the parents' marriage, and what parents can do to kind of forestall some of those problems and have a great marriage right now. Paul, thanks so much for coming in and talk with me about these things. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's been my pleasure, Betsy. Great to be with
you. All right, friends, you can reach Dr. Paul Randolph at insightcouncil.org, and I will put that on my website. What a great resource. You're going to want to bookmark it. Thanks so much for joining me on It Takes a Parent. And from all of us here on the show, I hope you have a great week, a great marriage, if you are married, and I hope you stay warm. Thanks so much for joining us on It Takes a Parent. Hi, friends. Betsy Hart here with a great suggestion for a special Christmas time activity you can do with your kids. Have you ever wondered about the biblical account of the Magi? Who were these wise men, and what was that star they saw in the east which led them to Jesus' home? Is there any evidence that such a natural phenomena may have existed in the sky around the time of Christ's birth or early childhood? Well, the answer is yes. In its Star of Wonder show, the Adler Planetarium in Chicago walks through in one of its spectacular sky shows what was happening in the skies around the time of Christ's birth. It's all from a scientific, secular, and historical perspective. But guess what? The Magi's star in the east actually fits some very unusual events happening in the skies at the time. The show tells you all about it, and it plays through January 4th. Admission includes your visit to the other exhibits in the historic Adler Planetarium. Find out more at adlerplanetarium.org. That's adlerplanetarium.org. Or visit me at betsysblog.com. Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's Cookies continues to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the home-style store-bought cookies.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it. Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host Betsy Hart can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. 8942.